We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Grade the NCAA tournament so far. Letter grades. We're talking letter grades here.
I give it like a strong B.
Okay.
Like a solid B.
Now you're the teacher and you have to write the little report to the parents off to the side. I don't know if they do that. Do they do that anymore now that it's online? You used to open up your report card, and there it was.
Explain your work.
So there you are. Yeah. What are the strengths of the Young Tournament, and what are the things the Young Tournament? What are the weaknesses of the Young Tournament?
I think one of the strengths of the tournament is we have kept a lot of really good teams alive. We basically have, you know, the top eight are still intact, and we are setting up for what I think could be an outstanding Thursday through Sunday.
Whether you consider this a strength or a minus, there are no Cinderellas.
Yeah, I mean, the closest thing is NC State.
And NC State is not a freaking Cinderella. This year, it is an unlikely run that they're on, right? It is an unlikely run that NC State is on. But this is not Loyola. You know, this is not George Mason. There is no Cinderella left in this tournament. And so you consider that a strength.
Yes, because I think typically what we see is when you get all the big upsets week one, then you wind up getting a lot of games during the Sweet 16 and the Elite Eight that are just kind of blowouts. And I think that
we had a fair number of this weekend.
And I think that was because we saw for a couple of things. Number one, I think what we really saw this weekend is the teams that we knew were good all year, for the most part, they showed, they're kind of in a different class.
One of the interesting things is, all the number ones and all the number twos have advanced.
Yep.
Plus two threes. So two threes were knocked out. Two fours were knocked out. The only double-digit seed remaining in the tournament is NC State, which, by traditional definition, is not some kind of a Cinderella. It's interesting to me because while it's true, the teams that we thought were good look good, we also expected some level of chaos. Like, we expected we said, this tournament's going to be, who the hell knows, parody.
Sure.
All we saw during the regular season was top 10 teams going on the road and losing, right?
Yep.
Now, this isn't on the road. These are neutral site games. I think the strength of the tournament has been, We got a couple of really fabulous upsets.
Yes.
In Oakland beating Kentucky, which is maybe the best upset there could have been.
Yeah.
With Jack Golke as, we got the character.
Yep.
Right? We got the dude hitting the 10 three-pointers and Oakland and beating Kentucky. Like, the best villain, the best, like, it was perfect. That was a perfect upset. Even putting aside my well-known thoughts about all of this.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect upset. And Yale beating Auburn, also fun.
Yeah.
Right? Yale beating Auburn, also fun. So we got some upsets. We got some close games, including one in Memphis, which we'll get to in a minute. Two in Memphis, really, at the end, which we got to in a minute. And then you're right. And then we got chalk.
And the biggest reason why I gave it a B is I did feel like on Saturday and Sunday, there was a decent amount of, and maybe this is now how we've just structured the schedule, where these standalone games, and it felt like a lot of the standalone games.
The schedule was awful and then all of a sudden you get five games a night that are interesting.
Correct. And to me, it's like, I don't understand. I always, maybe this is me because this is the way I grew up. the Sunday, I don't think it needs to go till 11:30.
It does not need to go till 11:30. People do go to sleep.
Correct. Like, we could have started you know, if you want to have one standalone game, fine. Then start staggering them an hour apart from each other, and that seems to me to be the way that it works the best. But I did feel like I thought the basketball kind of slowed down for the most part on Saturday and Sunday.
Yeah, I mean, you had games that honestly you knew would be blowouts that were blowouts.
Yeah.
Like, Sun Ben was at the UConn game yesterday, and honestly, there's two blowouts there. Duke takes care of James Madison. James Madison had looked good, obviously beating Wisconsin, but then fell apart against Duke. Like, it was not the slightest bit competitive.
I never considered
that Northwestern would beat UConn. And so you're just like,
no. The only thing you were worried about was that line.
Same thing with Purdue.
Like, the line got a little uncomfortable at the end. So that was the only thing you worried about in the UConn game. But then Purdue, basically, like, the last 30 minutes of basketball. And I felt the same way, honestly, about North Carolina and Michigan State. Like, the first 10 minutes, you're
Yeah, and then
the entire second half, you're like, oh, North Carolina looks like
really good. So I actually think,
really good,
taken as a weekend in terms of entertainment, I'd give it a C. Like, we had the two upsets, right?
Yep.
And then we had some close games. But fundamentally, what are we talking, like, if you're just talking about the basketball part, what are we talking about today? We'll get to the Memphis stuff in a minute. But, like, there wasn't a lot of great, except Kentucky and except Yale, there wasn't a lot, like, Tennessee rolls, right? You know, I mean, it's good for Tennessee. They're thrilled, absolutely. We'll get to their path in a minute. But we had a lot of one-sided affairs, you know? So I thought, just in terms of the basketball, particularly after you got past Thursday and Friday, which is when the upsets happened, the weekend was only okay.
I did feel like we added more teams. And again, I understand this can be recency bias, and this is all, you saw two games. I thought coming into the weekend that I would be surprised if someone other than UConn, Houston, or Purdue ended up winning.
And you added teams that you think could win.
And I think we've added some teams where you're like, okay, I can see that.
Okay, so who have you added here? Carolina
was a fringe below them. I now think that Carolina can very much win this thing. I honestly think I could envision a world where Tennessee wins.
I can envision a world where Tennessee wins the thing.
Tennessee,
the defense is absolutely stifling.
And Tennessee, like, that Texas game is a game that Tennessee would regularly lose.
Yep.
And they did not lose it.
I don't really think, I don't include Duke among the teams that can win.
I feel like Duke yesterday had an unbelievable shooting performance.
I do feel like, I don't include them among the teams that can win, but I do include them among the teams that could beat, I do think they could beat Houston.
Absolutely, for the exact reason I just mentioned.
Right, and because Houston's better.
Houston's banged up, like, yes.
So I don't think Duke is a national championship, you know, really a real contender, but could they do that? Then they got NC State or Marquette. Could Duke make the Final Four? Yes, they could.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Duke could make the Final Four. So I thought it was I'm with you. I give it a B because I think it sets up nicely, and because we have, you know, Jack Oakey is one of goes up there in the pantheon, right, of entertaining characters and big upsets and all of that. And plus we got Yale and Auburn. Grand Canyon, I'm less enamored with. It's barely a school.
Well, it was nice for me to see St. Mary's get popped.
Okay, now do this.
All right.
Grade the Memphis Memphis bracket.
So
the Memphis experience writ large.
So
what are you giving it? The whole thing.
I was kind of feeling B minus. Because the first four games, I think, were all decided by 20 points or more.
Friday was a D minus.
Yeah.
And honestly, the only reason it wasn't better than a D minus was Nebraska fans. And let us proclaim right here, Jeffrey, that we are, I think we're the first people to say when we're wrong, aren't
mm-hmm.
we?
Like, Big Red.
We are the first people to say when we're wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But when we are right, it often goes under the radar.
Mm-hmm.
Unspoken.
Give us our credit. Yeah. Give us our flowers.
I do believe that when we were discussing in advance. What fan base would flood the city of Memphis? We came to the complete agreement that it would be the Husker fans. And sure enough, who showed up in force Friday? Husker fans.
Nebraska.
Nebraska.
The Big Red.
The Big Red. So that was great. Like, that was great. That they are one of the few things. The turnout of the Nebraska fans was one of the few things that kept Friday from being a complete disaster, because the games were all blowouts. And not only that, games are blowouts, and you're looking around all over the rest of the country, and it's fun.
Correct.
And in Memphis, it was, hey, look at all these Nebraska fans. This is fun. And then Nebraska goes and loses.
Correct. And really wasn't ever really in it.
Yeah, no.
Like, you didn't even consider, like, oh, maybe.
So
at first, I was actually thinking...
That's a D-minus.
But I was thinking on Friday, that might not be such a bad thing. It's like, okay, you get these blowouts, and then maybe we could get two really good
sort
games.
Sort of a miniature version of what Correct. You think is happening across the broader tournament.
Correct. Could get two really good teams, or two get really good games on Sunday. And honestly, Baylor, like, came back and tried to make it interesting. But
it was interesting. When Jacoby Walter is with 36 seconds left to the line with two shots to yes. tie, that is interesting.
But it wasn't a fun watch until the last five minutes.
Yeah, and it wasn't a fun watch.
Yeah.
It was interesting, though.
Correct.
P.J. Hall's really good. Like, he had fouled out at that point.
But, like, that was the whole thing. It's like, oh, is this game going to go to overtime? Clemson doesn't have any players. That became, like, the narrative of the who's going to have players for overtime.
And then Jacoby Walter, who will be a lottery pick in the NBA draft, steps to the line, 36 seconds left for Baylor. You're going to have to do that twice. Yeah. Yeah. I feel for the kid, but... You know what? Not that much.
Yeah, no, he'll be okay.
I mean, it's not like he's a lifetime Baylor Bear.
But
he just arrived on campus. He just arrived on campus, and in a couple of months, he's going to be a gazillionaire.
Right. I do not.
Don't really feel.
I don't feel sorry for
this
him.
This is not a guy who's spent his whole life wanting to be in that position.
Correct.
And at the end of a 5-year career.
But I did think that game itself was kind of an interesting little microcosm of, okay, when we talk about, like, what's the formula? What's the, like, way to do it? Like, Baylor does it and goes and gets talent. Like, you see, like, in terms of which team looked better off the bus, that would be the Baylor Bears. But then you have the other team that's gritty, experienced, with all older guys. One team steps up with their freshman. I think he was 81% from the line, clangs both. Then Clemson's 60% guy
that
gets up
amazing.
And drills too.
Guy just
like and they were
pure,
like stepped like rock
totally
solid.
Pure, absolutely. Well, and then they have, and we'll get to this in a minute. Like they've got, I don't know if it's two lottery picks on that Baylor team, but they've got certainly two top 20 picks
they
on that
two,
Baylor
top,
team.
Two first rounders.
And Misi was the other. Misi with a big 2 points, 4 rebounds.
Yeah,
and. And so you have Clemson that wins. And that game was not a great watch, but was fascinating at the end.
Yes, absolutely.
It became really interesting at the end. And then
I have no idea what to even describe this game.
Now, does the fact it happened so damn late, this gets to the schedule thing. You know, like, can you salvage the weekend in Memphis by having this game,
everyone's just exhausted.
I'm giving the Memphis bracket A, and let's be honest, except for the Husker fans, not great. Not great. Except for the Husker fans, not great. I'm giving it a B-minus, C-plus, and only because I'm giving them credit for the Memphis band filling in for Colgate.
That was awesome.
So that was cool. The Mighty Sound of the South were big supporters of the Mighty Sound of the South here on this show.
Shout out to all of them.
They filled in for Colgate, so that was good. And by the way, it is amazing how it works. Like, I was at the mayor gave a, I talked about this last week, Positively Memphis Luncheon, the last Positively Memphis Luncheon, because Pat Halloran, who threw them, has passed away, sadly. And so the mayor was talking there. And at this quote-unquote Positively Memphis Luncheon, I'm sitting in the back, I got my laptop open, and someone wanders up and said, so do you think we can get through this weekend without a murder? And, well, I mean, of course, not writ large without a murder. Of course we can't. But, like, without some horrific thing happening to a visitor.
Right.
There was that a domestic shooting, like, the night before, whatever. But honestly, who knows? Like, I don't know what we'll find out.
I was not on the police scanners this weekend.
Pretty uneventful weekend.
Agreed.
Seems like people had a good time.
A good uneventful weekend.
Hope they got a good crowd down out there with the Majestic. And it would have been better if the Nebraska fans stayed. But I still think it's only we'll get back to the Houston thing, A&M thing in a minute. I'm only giving it a – because Friday was such a dud – I'm only giving it a C minus. C. I'll give it a solid C.
I mean, I don't have a problem with that. I mean, I did think, even though the Houston game happened late and the ending was chaotic, I did think, like, watching that game, it was like, man, this is a fist fight.
Well, it was a brawl.
Like, that was a
52 fouls called.
Yeah.
And it was an absolute brawl. And then you have this sort of amazing scene.
I mean, that last play, that pass?
Yep.
I mean, that's
beautiful,
like,
pass.
That's like finding your fourth option,
yeah,
coming back to it.
Garcia
threading.
With 1.2 seconds left, and Garcia drops in the three.
And when it left his hand, you knew it was in, too. Like, right when he caught the pass, like, oh, that's going to hit.
It was incredible. And so then you have this scene where Houston, this elite defensive team, tested, experienced, elite defensive team, was up 13 with 3:33 left.
I think they were up 10 with a minute 12.
And allows A&M to come back and tie on the Chalmers-esque three-pointer.
Yes.
At this
on what appeared to be like their fifth chance in that possession.
Yes. You also have four starting Cougars have fouled out, and it is interesting. In this scenario, you often think, oh, they're dead in overtime. That's an emotional killer.
Yes.
That's certainly what we thought in the national championship game when Memphis faced a similar circumstance against Kansas, cooked once they got to OT. Houston was not cooked when they got to OT. Not only that, they send a walk-on. They send a walk-on because they got nobody else up to hit two foul shots. He hits one or two.
But he just needed to hit one or two.
He just needed to hit one or two to clinch the thing. So there was high drama at the end.
Well, and then, yeah, Jamal Shedd playing the whole game. The only reason why he didn't play 45 minutes because he fouled out.
I know. No. That's the old, like, strength in numbers BS.
Play your dudes.
Strength in dudes, man.
Yes.
Strength in numbers. Strength in dudes. Find your best players. Feed them minutes. They will love you. They will stay. They will not transfer at the end of the year. Identify your best players and play them till they drop.
Literally.
Literally, in some circumstances, literally drop. Other highlights from the weekend. We had Jim Nance here rooting for Houston, so that was
Actually, I think we were the celebrity.
We had Johnny Manziel here.
And we had Slick Rick.
Yeah, absolutely. So it was a kind of a celebrity situation over there. And then we had the three-point contest on Beal, and it was funny because there was Jess tweeted out a picture of the mayor hitting a three-point shot, absolutely draining.
A no-doubter.
Jessica Benson did. A no-doubter on Beal Street, and she labeled it Hooper. And there he is. It's cool that your mayor can step up and drop in a three-pointer, right?
Absolutely.
That's cool. Evidently, it was 2 of 14.
Okay, but all we need is it's rule number one.
Tell your story.
Correct.
Yes, exactly right. Still, 2 of 14. Tony Allen, Rudy Gay, Mario Chalmers were in this contest. And the winner was, in fact, Mario Chalmers, 10 of 14.
Okay.
Rudy Gay, 9 of 14. T.A., locking him down, 6 of 14.
So, still beats his career mark.
So there you go. Do you feel differently about Clemson or Houston as they leave Memphis now? Clemson's going to have Arizona, and Houston's going to have Duke.
So the only thing, like, I do feel like Clemson reminds us, hey, there is still the formula of have experienced guys that have been there. And I don't know if like that means you can be a Final Four team, but that does remind you that that's a way to get to a
it
second weekend.
It is a way to get there.
The thing with Houston is, do I feel differently? If only I feel slightly worse just because you realize, like, they are just one injury away or one bad whistle away. Like, you realize it got very dark and stormy for them very quickly.
It did get dark and stormy very quickly. Do you think, and I saw some of this on social media, do you think it was bittersweet for Memphis fans in the sense that they beat Clemson? Clemson is advancing. They beat A&M.
Yep.
A&M was here. So two teams that you've beaten, and then one of your old rivals, which has gone on to great things, also here. I'll be honest. While I understand why that might strike some as being, you know, a poke in the eye, I don't know. Like, you can't, like, there are things that are painful. Watching Florida Atlantic last year,
yeah,
for example, go on the run they went through, that's real pain, right? I get that. I don't think seeing Clemson or Houston, one of my prevailing takeaways from the weekend was not, boy, this must have made Memphis. I think Memphis fans feel miserable because their season was what it was.
Yes, I agree.
Because they missed the tournament, but not because A&M was in Memphis Friday.
You had already figured out how you felt about this team well before.
Yeah.
It wasn't like Friday was some painful reminder, because I definitely agree with you. Watching FAU continue to win and win, that is a painful reminder. I feel like you...
Of what could have been. Here, right. There's nothing that what could have been. There's you blew it.
Correct.
You blew it. The angst about this team, the pain about this team, the trauma about this team was already fully inflicted. The fact that Texas A&M was here Friday and Sunday, to me, did not do much to put salt in the... For me, now maybe other Memphis fans feel differently about it, did not do much to salt the wound. It was... The wound was already deep... And the wound was already bleeding, and I'll stop the metaphor lest we lose people. But yeah, I didn't particularly care about that. I actually think probably bothers Memphis fans more. Although even this, I don't really know that Tennessee's within Sweet 16. You know, if you're going to say what, if you're going to find some reason for, but in the end, I think most of the Memphis concern is just about Memphis.
Yeah, I totally agree. I don't actually think it's a lot of, like, worry about, you know.
Plus, we got the Calipari thing losing already, so that was fun.
Well, like, normally it's like, worry about yourself. I feel like most Memphis fans are like, we are.
We are. Yeah, no, we are focused on ourselves. Yes, yeah. Take care of what you can take care of. We are 100% worried about themselves. So, all right. So, as you look ahead, how do you feel about Tennessee? Tennessee's got Creighton and then, presumably, Purdue.
So, I think what I would feel pretty good about is what Creighton has shown is they are very dependent on the three. And Tennessee, I do feel like, has shown an ability of we can still guard. And Creighton against Oregon, like, holy cow. But the big problem, though, with that game was, like, I'm watching that the whole time. Like, do I really feel like this is Oregon's defense? I feel like maybe Creighton is just freaking out. But of all the three seeds, like, I'm not shaking in my boots about Creighton.
No, I'm not either.
Now, where I guess Tennessee fans would tell you they're a little concerned is with Kalkbrenner in the middle. Like, they don't feel like that's a particular matchup. But I still, if I watched Cruzdard go off on Creighton, one guy, I feel pretty good that Kinect can do the same.
And then Purdue.
I mean, I do think the thing with Purdue is they have proven that last year was more flukish and they freaked out and they had a bad situation. I just really, though, like, I'm starting to wonder, like, is Gonzaga maybe figuring it out? But at the same time, you're like, maybe Kansas had been screaming all along. They've been trying to tell us who they were. We just weren't listening. I mean, Edie has been a monster. But I just keep wondering, it's like, to me, it's always going to be a question of, do I still inherently trust the guards? And They've looked good this weekend, but I do think that was a pretty favorable matchup.
UConn looked like the best team in the country again. Just a train.
They just keep reminding me, like, God, those kids are good.
Yeah. Really good. Experienced pros, everything. I mean, they are really good. And then I think the one that's more wide open is the UNC, Alabama, Clemson, Arizona. Like, that's...
Oh, I mean, absolutely. I mean, because definitely with North Carolina, Alabama, like, Alabama showed at various times, like, when they can get on these offensive runs, they can be awesome. And then yesterday, they get into kind of the defensive-minded fistfight, and they were still able to come out of that. Carolina really flashed, I felt like, in the second half against Michigan State. But I still don't know if, like, I'm sitting there going, I trust North Carolina the same way that I trust UConn. I don't feel the same way.
A few other things to note from the first weekend of the tournament. Gonzaga has now made...
Nine straight, I believe.
Nine straight Sweet 16s. Like, you want to be a mid-major, quote-unquote, that is taken seriously? Like, do that. Memphis in the last 10 years has made two. In the last decade has made two. Gonzaga has made nine straight Sweet 16s. In terms of conferences, Big East complained that they only got three in, all three to the Sweet 16, which does not, by the way, prove that more should have gotten. No, you know what it proves?
Your top-end teams proves that
you had three really good teams at the top, which were 1, 2, and 3 seeds.
Yeah.
They were 1, 2, and 3 seeds, and they were really good. Doesn't mean the mediocre teams were good. It means you had three really good teams, and all three are going to the Sweet 16. The ACC has four of the Sweet 16. That is the 13th time the ACC has sent four to the Sweet 16. No other conference has ever sent, has done it more than five times. So the ACC having a great tournament. The SEC, obviously not. They had got off to a just brutal start, which I think people enjoyed after hearing Greg Sankey talk about how more SEC schools essentially should get in, is sort of the argument. And then, as we said, the chalk advanced. Every one, every two, plus two threes advanced. Two of the things I wanted to talk about from the tournament. Then we got Dan Devine. Then we got Chris Harrington. One.
Before we move on, I'd like to give one more quick shout out. Uh-huh. It was forgotten kind of in that wash because of Yale-Auburn. The Colorado-Florida game
was an awesome basketball game. That was a tremendous basketball game. No, you're right. You're right.
It just got caught up in the wash.
Two of the things I want to talk about. One is the coaching stuff. Obviously, Dusty May, the thought was he would be headed to Louisville.
Yes. Well, the original thought was he was heading to Ohio State.
Right.
And then it's like, oh, maybe he picked Louisville because Ohio State says we're hiring the interim. Like, oh, maybe he picked Louisville.
And so the thought was he's going to Louisville. Ends up at Michigan, 5 years, $3.75 million, and Louisville is left thinking, what's next?
Are we going to do Will Wade?
You hear different things from different people. Like, very clearly, Louisville fans want Will Wade, right? Yeah. Louisville fans want Will Wade. Louisville administration may not want Will Wade. And so there you are. Dusty May leaves Florida Atlantic for Michigan. Which job would you rather have?
Probably Michigan, because I am still unclear of what the Louisville job is in this world. I do know that Michigan, we've seen multiple guys win big there.
Right.
It's not...
You know the money's pouring in.
And it's not the number one sport.
And it's not going to stop. It's not the number one sport, so
that means expectations are...
You can still win national championships without being the number one sport.
Correct.
I don't think it's particularly hard. Now, I think Louisville has had, you know, more success.
Yeah, I think that's probably fair.
But I don't think it's particularly hard. Partly because conference affiliation matters so much now, right?
Well, and I think if you're in this point in time, would you rather bet on the Big Ten job that's at the top half of the Big Ten,
right,
or would you rather bet on an ACC
that
job?
That may be imploding.
Who knows? You know what I mean? Like, I think there's...
I mean, let's be honest. Memphis fans talk about the ACC is going to implode, and then we can rejoin Louisville.
Right.
Is that the job you want if you're Louisville? No, probably not, right?
I think that's where I would go, Michigan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.